Blog Talk Radio.
Do you recall the night? That very, very special night. Do you remember a girl? That very special girl. For to the old and to the new, we rededicate this song to you.
Gentleman, the actor that played the guy that wrote the book in, what was it, In Cold Blood? I'm trying to think of the guy's name. Little short guy, and he got an Academy Award for playing him. They just did an analysis of what he was loaded up with, and now I know where they get the term junkie. Because he had a lot of junk in his body, all kinds of junk. And they went after, they're suspecting a jazz player who might have sold them the junk. And they raided the jazz player's house and they found $1,300 in cash, and I think, don't hold me to the figure, 3,000 bags of heroin, and he was selling it for $10 a bag. So, yeah, that's showbiz, man. And in other showbiz announcements today, a Kennedy was arrested for doping up and driving. And I think her car hit a truck. And they just found her not guilty for reason of being a Kennedy. Unbelievable. Isn't that something? But the good news is we just discovered after the Clintons are out of office that in a revelation missing from the official investigations of the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks. You know that 911 hearing? That was a setup. That was. You could go to the Soviet Union and get the same type of you could get the same type of setup. The only thing missing from the 911 hearings was Cardinal Nanzenti being tried as a spy. Those hearings, they were set up by the Clintons to protect the Clintons. I never bought any of the crap that they performed. As a matter of fact, they used those hearings to launch John Kerry's presidential run, reporting for duty. Hanoi John shares a spittoon with Hanoi Jane. Now he is what? He's the secretary of what? Give it away, give it all away, bring it all down. Yes, he straightened out the Russians this week. He drew a line. He said, Obama's not drawing a line, I'm drawing the line this week. And you better not do anything, Mr. Putin, because we could smear you in the court of public opinion. We'll Sarah Palin you. Yeah. So here's the exclusive. The FBI placed a human source in direct contact with Osama bin Laden in 1993. Yes, to kick the can down the road, Clintons. They let Osama bin Laden, they gave him a get-out-of-jail, a free card, and ascertained that the al-Qaeda leader was looking to finance terrorist attacks in the United States. My biggest joke is if you want to get rid of something, you turn it over to the FBI. Yes, Senator Clinton, is it true your brother got caught with $450,000 in drug money? I'm shocked and appalled, and I'm outraged, and we're turning this over to the FBI. Yeah. Mrs. Clinton, is it true you left three guys on a roof in Benghazi to die and you hung up the phone as they were begging for help? I'm shocked and appalled, and we're investigating. We're turning this over to the FBI. 2 weeks later, the FBI comes and says, hey, you got any news, anything for us? 2 weeks later, a CNN reporter went there 20 minutes after the attack. According to court testimony in a little-noticed employment dispute case. Oh, man. And then it says, see also a special congressional panel to investigate FBI contact with bin Laden. Mrs. Clinton, is it true you got no medication for your blood clot? And nobody can see your records. They're sealed up in Harvard along with Obama's records. I'm shocked and appalled. And this is an outrage. And we're turning it over to the FBI. The information the FBI gleaned back then was so specific that it helped thwart a terrorist plot against the Masonic Lodge in Los Angeles. The court records reviewed by the Washington Times show. It was the only source I know in the Bureau where we had a source right in al-Qaeda, directly involved. Edward J. Curran, a former top official in the FBI's Los Angeles office, told the court, in support of a discrimination lawsuit filed against the Bureau by his former agent, ready for this, Bassem Youssef, who shouts Allahu Akbar as he sharpens his pencil. Bassem Youssef. Mr. Koren gave the testimony in 2010 to an essentially empty courtroom. Sure, that's how the hearings go. If it's anything of importance, nobody shows. But if you want to talk about the gays and the Girl Scouts, the house will be jam-packed. Yeah, or 583 servicemen that abused the women. I have a solution to that problem. You know what it is? We got to put an end to this abuse of women in the military. I'm outraged and appalled. We know what we do? We make the entire military all women. All women. And guys that think they're women. And that's it. Because a woman can do the same job as a man, and in some cases they do it better. And as soon as we have the military all women, we can attack Russia. And I have to go on my meds now. I was the only source I knew in the Bureau where we had a source right in Al-Qaeda, directly involved, Ed Curran, a former top official, said. Mr. Curran gave the testimony in 2010 to an essentially empty courtroom, and thus it escaped notice from the media. Yeah, it escaped notice from the media. Or terrorism specialists. Yeah, sure. Why wouldn't that escape the media? What is that, anti-Clinton? Oh, no. What is it? A nuke's going off in New York tomorrow? No, we'll kick the can down the road. Yeah. So, let me tell you about embedded with Osama bin Laden. Do you know the night before 9-1-1, the Lion of the Panjir, I think his name was Massoud, and it might be Abdullah Massoud. He was the head of the Northern Alliance. And the night before 9-1-1, he gave an interview to two Egyptian cameramen and reporter. And the camera was loaded with explosives. And when he smiled for the camera, they blew him away. And that night, ammo dumps all over Afghanistan started to detonate because the Northern Alliance was fit to be tied. And then 9-1-1 happened the next day. And this Abdullah Massoud, you can go back and probably get YouTube clips where he warned us that bin Laden was coming. He warned us to be on guard. And he was a good guy. He was for us. And he was well respected by his men. And the Northern Alliance is what helped us kick Al-Qaeda out of Afghanistan. I don't know what happened to them after we occupied Afghanistan. Seems like they blended into the landscape. I don't know if they had a falling out with us or whatever. You know, it's easy for Americans to insult people. You know, especially the American government. You know, like when they appointed Kathy Bodine as ambassador to Yemen. And she bragged that the USS Cole was coming in 14 days to show our strength. You know, beware of people who say we're the strongest nation on the face of the earth. It creates competition among our enemies. I think it raises a lot of questions about why that information didn't become public and why the 911 Commission or the Congressional Intelligence Committees weren't told about it. You remember the widows, the Democrat widows of 911 who cried for the hearing and blamed Bush? And then the next time I saw them, they were on the stage with John Kerry endorsing him, hugging him and kissing him. Yeah, the king of ketchup. So, analysts told the Times they are floored that the information is just now emerging publicly. That shows you how long it takes to unveil a cover-up. We still don't know who killed Kennedy, do we? Yeah. And did you know that Lee Harvey Oswald took a shot at the head of the John Birch Society before he took a shot at Kennedy? Did you know that April 22nd is Earth Day? You know that, right? April 22nd is Earth Day. Did you know it's also Lenin's birthday? Jimmy from Brooklyn calls the environmentalists. He calls them enviro-Leninists. And you see who's starving us out on the low-price gas. It's the enviro-Leninists. I happened to turn on the Al Jazeera last night, and there was a guy being interviewed who's an expert on the Soviet Union, and his name is Cohen, and he's a teacher, a professor at NYU. And I didn't know it at the time. Jimmy told me the woman that was on, her name is Vanderhoebel. You know, these couples that have different names. Yeah, never trust a woman with two last names or a guy. And this guy's name, he had three names. I forget his name. I wrote it down somewhere. And let me see if I can find it. Yes. His name. Oh, no, this is a different guy. Okay, his last name was Cohen. And Jimmy tells me that Mrs. Vanderhoebel, that's his wife. And they were both calling the Ukrainians Nazis, and they were rooting for Putin. So I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at Al Jazeera, who's coming online, replacing NBC and CNN, and they do a lot of multi-racial reporting, you know, and they do have good information. They're even embedded with the Taliban, so they get the other side of the story. And that's what I like to watch. I like to watch their African news, their Middle East news. But they're owned by the Al Thani family, the government of Qatar. If you get a Qatari a phone book, you'll see the Al Thani family on the front page. Yeah. If you get an American phone book, you'll see the Clinton family on the front page. And that day's coming. Everything is running through my mind at the same time. Obama lost six countries today. He lost the Seychelles. He lost he lost Singapore. He lost Venezuela. That's a confirmation. And he lost three others. I can't remember what the other three were. Total of six. They're all going to become Soviet satellites. Right here in the Western Hemisphere. Isn't that wonderful? And that doesn't count the fact that he lost the entire Middle East, which we haven't woken up to yet. We haven't woken up to that fact. And that the Syrians are slow on delivering the gas. Yeah, not the liquefied natural gas, the gas that puts you to death. Yes, they fell behind. It's like the Obama health care. It's taking a long time to come online. And the Iranians, of course, they're back to doing whatever they were doing before. You remember when we couldn't approve that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction? And so we sent in the UN inspectors. And the UN inspector that was in charge came back and said, he doesn't have any weapons of mass destruction. Do you know who that UN inspector was? His name is Mohammed Baradei. And I'm sure he's a very wealthy man today. He got a bigger commission than Clinton got for putting that uranium deal together for the Iranians. Oh, no, it wasn't for the Iranians. It was for the Canadians. Yeah, whatever the Canadians do with is none of our business. Yeah. Canada has more uranium than they know what to do with. They don't need uranium. The Iranians need uraniums and geraniums. Yes. So, Mohammed Baradei said there was no weapons of mass destruction, but they're all in Syria. If you go in and look at the containers, they all say, to my Syrian friends from Saddam Hussein, kill the Americans. Yeah. You know that the Syrian government is run by the Ba'ath Party. Do you know who else was a member of the Ba'ath Party? Saddam Hussein. Yes, we're all taking the bath. We're the Ba'ath Party. We're taking a bath. So anyway, we go back to this story about, I think it raises a lot of questions about that information didn't become public and why the 911 Commission or the Congressional Intelligence Committees were told about it. Former Peter Hoekstra, Michigan Republican, who chaired the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence from 2004 through 2007, when lawmakers dealt with a fallout from the 911 Commission's official report. Speaking of fallout, everybody's upset. And there is a school and a school district where the school commissioner, chancellor, the school chancellor, is in charge of 6,500 kids. And guess how much money he makes? He makes $100 a kid. He makes $665,000 a year. And everybody's upset about it. And he said, what's the big deal? It's the Democrat way. We're looking out for the little guy. Yeah. But the little guy ain't graduating because he can't spell America. This is just one more of these examples that will go into the conspiracy theorist notebooks. And you heard about the four American kids that weren't allowed to wear the American flag on their shirts because it would offend the Mexican bullies who wanted only the Mexican flag flown in an American school on a Cinco de Ship Day. Yeah. Man, we are ripe for a takeover. You're going to come out of your house one morning. You're going to see Russian troops directing traffic as Chinese tanks go down the street, and you're going to think it's a parade. Yeah, we're in trouble. Who says the authorities are not telling us everything Mr. Hoekstra told the Times? Well, if he tells it the Times, that's like telling it to the FBI. It's like turning over the info to the FBI. Yes, the FBI is looking into it. The Times, in an interview last week, that's bad for the intelligence community. What intelligence? What intelligence? Come on. Wake up, man. Listen, you had two guys walk into it with the intelligence community. One guy who said he was gay and he was upset that gays weren't getting treated right, he leaked the 200,000 emails about what the security community was doing. The other guy, who is going to be buried in the Kremlin wall as one of the top KGB agents of all time, he'll probably be buried next to Kim Philby, he leaked 800,000 emails and memos and documents, and not one intelligence operative in the field died because of it. A million pieces of information, and nobody died. Isn't that a miracle? And who's going to tell you? Who's going to tell you that somebody died? That's bad for the intelligence community. Two greatest weaknesses of the United States from before 9-1 till today, intelligence. It's our number one greatest weakness. And number two is the ability to negotiate. Look at John Kerry talking tough to Rasputin, the mad monk. It's bad for law enforcement and it's bad for government. Former Rep. Lee Hamilton, an Indiana Democrat who co-chaired the 911 Commission. See, a Democrat. They put all Democrats in charge of the hearings. Then they got this squirrel face from New Jersey, the governor of New Jersey, a Republican. But you know what? He's a Republican like Hagel's a Republican, like Cohen, the other Secretary of Defense, was a Republican. They're the court jesters for the Democrat Party. Former Rep. Lee Hamilton, an Indiana Democrat who co-chaired the commission with former areas Governor of New Jersey Thomas Keene, said that the best governor we ever had in New Jersey was John Corzine. He looked out for the people. He never broke the speed limit. I think the first thing these guys do when they get elected is they run the traffic lights. I don't know what that's all about. Maybe it's a rite of passage. We got a mayor here that jaywalks. Yeah, he makes the hammer and sickle when he's walking. He said that as far as he can remember, the FBI never told the commission that it had been working a source so close to bin Laden that many years before 9-1-1. Yeah, he was working close to bin Laden, but he couldn't put two behind his ear and stop a 9-1-1, right? We need the mafia to take over the Central Intelligence Agency. Then you won't have anything to worry about. Say, where's the Ayatollah Khomeini? Oh, he's gone. He's gone. And there's nothing we can do about it. Exactly how the information was omitted from the various congressional reviews and the 911 commission report is a mystery. FBI officials and staff involved in the review said they couldn't determine definitely so many years later whether the information was kept from the various investigations. You know what they have? Every one of these congressional offices and committees, they all have Persian rugs. And they all lie like Persian rugs. And then anything that comes up gets swept underneath the Persian rug. Records made available during the exhaustive reviews of Al-Qaeda's history. Give me a break, man. Give me a break. You know, they took a 40-foot trailer load of documents related to oil for food out of Baghdad, Saddam's palace, and they sent them back to the USA to be translated and read. And you know how much of the documents they finally finished reading and then stopped? 2%. 2%. And you know why? Why they stopped after 2%? Because Khalid, the virgin counter at the Shell station, had to go back to Yemen. Yeah. And the interpreter. Man, we're in trouble. You have no idea how much trouble we're in. World War III is coming, and we're invited. Both the commission and the U.S. governor compiled a fair amount of evidence. Remember, bin Laden came for 100,000 people in 93, and he failed, but he accomplished the mission in 2001. Took him 8 years to reach his goal. And for those 8 years, he was working day and night on that dream of his, to bring down the World Trade Center, the Clinton Towers. About the activity of the set of groups, later best known as Al-Qaeda, and during the early 1990s when the group was setting into Sudan, we did not delve as deeply in this period because it was so distant from the plotting that led directly to the 9-1-1 attack, said Philip Zelko, who served as the 9-1-1 Commission's executive director and now teaches history at the University of Virginia. Not only is our government loaded with communists, it's also loaded with terrorists. And you don't believe that, but you got to look at who sits on the staff of Obama bin Laden. Like Mr. Hamilton, Mr. Zelko said he does not recall ever being told by the FBI about the 93 source and that Mr. Curran's disclosure, which we wouldn't have learned about except he had a tiff with his agent, appeared to involve valuable intelligence gathered in 93 and 94. So this guy was close to bin Laden, but we never knew that we were going to be hit. You ask anybody in this country, did they visualize 9-1-1 ever happening on American soil? The greatest defeat of the United States was done by two Saudi hijacked airplanes. But Mr. Zelko cautioned against reading too deeply into the revelation, asserting that bin Laden's activities that long ago would be viewed as pretty attenuated in relation to 9-1-1. FBI officials told the Times that the Bureau could not say for certain that its agents specifically briefed the 911, oh, come on, about the 93 asset. They didn't say anything. It would have been all over the headlines. The Clintons, they bred bin Laden. They gave birth to bin, they breastfed bin Laden. Because they kicked the can down the road, people, as is Obama bin Laden. It says the story continues. You want to hear the rest of the story? Let me see if I can find it. They didn't even read this guy as Merengue writes. Okay. Oh, this gets better. Let's see here where we are. The FBI made all relevant information available to the 911 Commission and the Joint Intelligence Community Inquiry. Throughout both of these reviews, the FBI shared pertinent documents and knowledgeable personnel in order to present all known information to Commission and Inquiry personnel. Assistant Director Michael P. Cortan said, you know what I remember about those 911 hearings? Condoleezza Rice wanted to appear. Now, this is, the smoke is still smoldering down the street. Condoleezza Rice wanted to appear on a Saturday and give testimony and answer all the questions that the commission had for her. And you know what the commission said? No, we can't do it on a Saturday because the press won't be here. How's that? They sound like they were in a hurry to get to the bottom of anything. Okay. Throughout, the FBI shared knowledgeable assistant director Michael P. Cortan said, the lawyer who represented Mr. Youssef and called Mr. Curran to testify in the 2010 court case, however, said the FBI kept the information from his litigation for years. So maybe Mr. Youssef was singing, maybe it was suing, maybe he didn't get enough pay. He knew his rights. Attorney Stephen Cohn said that even his own client declined to tell him about the sensational revelation until it surfaced during the court hearing because the information had been kept classified. I was shocked when it came out, and I was frustrated because the FBI had censored that information clearly to hide it from the public, said Mr. Cohn, who has represented some of the FBI's most famous whistleblowers over the years. There was absolutely no reason for that to be kept secret, he told the Times in an interview. In some respects, it's kind of demeaning for the FBI because they had kept secret one of the most significant triumphs in the war on terror. Also, they wouldn't have to give credit to Bassem for the work he had done. So he must be defending Bassem. As a result, none of the Bureau got the credit it was due for what was a spectacular counterterrorism triumph. What's so spectacular about it? You had a guy next to Osama and you did nothing. You did nothing. You couldn't even prevent 911. What's so spectacular about it? That's like having a dog by the fireplace who can't talk. Mr. Youssef remains with the Bureau, overseeing its telephone intercept analysis unit, and he won an appeals court ruling a few years ago to pursue a discrimination lawsuit against the Bureau. Yeah, he sued them because they were discriminating against terrorists. That ruling was handed down after FBI supervisors were forced to admit he was blocked from his job as one of the Bureau's top terrorism fighters because he was mistaken for an Arab Muslim whose loyalties should be questioned after September 11th. In fact, Mr. Youssef was a highly decorated agent and a Coptic Christian. Oh, man. As the case played out in federal court in 2010, Mr. Curran testified in Mr. Youssef's favor, methodically telling the court about the agent's many successes during the early 1990s when the U.S. government's unofficial war, we're having an unofficial war because we don't want to offend anybody, especially those two planes coming into the towers now, you know, you could hurt somebody. Better the planes crash than one innocent man be charged. Yeah. As the case played out in federal court in 2010, Mr. Curran testified, telling the court during the 1990s, the unofficial war on terrorism was just beginning. Those successes included thwarting specific terrorist attacks, including one on a British cruise liner and another that targeted the Los Angeles area, Mr. Curran testified. I often wondered why they didn't do more cruise ships. The former supervisor testified that Mr. Youssef developed a confidential source connected to the infamous Blind Sheikh. You know my theory about the Blind Sheikh, Omar Abdel Rahman? Do you remember when Spitzer had to resign because he was a dirty bastard? Yeah, and they replaced him with Governor Patterson, who is blind. I always believed that Governor Patterson was kidnapped and was in a holding cell in Manhattan Federal Prison, and that the Blind Sheikh was running the government of New York State. Like the man in the iron mask. The mastermind of the 93 World Trade Center bombing, and that he managed to get that source to go overseas and meet personally with bin Laden. The source was very in tight close to the leadership of Al-Qaeda, which you wonder how a Coptic Christian could get in with Muslims and not be detected. I'm sure that they have a way of identifying them. So he had to be very good at what he was doing. The one source came back had direct contact with bin Laden. Mr. Curran testified, adding that upon returning to the U.S., the source indicated to the Blind Sheikh that bin Laden had a target picked out for an explosion in the Los Angeles area. I believe it was a Masonic lodge. Mr. Curran said that the source also provided information about terrorist cells operating in California. California is going to get a workout. You know, everybody thinks New York's going to get another hit. It may not be a New York. You know, Los Angeles, man, they could tie up that freeway out there. Kill a lot of people. He wanted to come back and, let's see here, Mr. Curran said operating in California. During the testimony, he related in detail how Mr. Youssef flipped the asset so he was working with us, describing how the FBI collaborated with the source's wife from an arranged marriage to get him deported from the United States to put pressure on him. He wanted to come back, and that was the carrot we used to get his cooperation, McCurran said. Eventually, the plot to blow up Los Angeles target was diffused based on the information the source provided the FBI, according to the court testimony and other FBI documents. Mr. Curran's testimony is further supported by two documents, his own FBI personnel performance review report as an assistant special agent in charge in Los Angeles at the time, and a 1995 inspection report of the Los Angeles FBI office, both of which reference the asset and the thwarting of the plot. During the past 6 months, through ASACU's personal efforts, the FBI identified and supported an investigative effort which uncovered a large terrorist group operating out of Los Angeles and San Diego areas. Slated Mr. Curran's 1994 performance evaluation, a copy of which was obtained by the New York Times. The evaluation stated that Mr. Curran personally participated in the overseas interview of a potential asset and who is in position to provide valuable intelligence information to the nation's entire intelligence community. While the document made no specific reference to the asset's proximity to bin Laden, it stated outright that the development of this asset, as well as the initiation of other investigative techniques, has resulted in the Los Angeles office obtaining significant intelligence information which is not being provided by any other sources and agencies. The 1995 inspection report of the Los Angeles office meanwhile praised agents for conducting analysis of asset information received immediately preceding the February 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center. Do you remember how the media treated the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center? They had us all laughing at the futility of the terrorists because they rented a truck, and then when they filled the truck up full of explosives and left it in the parking lot, unprotected parking lot, and it blew up, they went back to the truck rental place to get their deposit back. And we all laughed at how stupid they were. And because of our ignorance, and I was laughing too, I thought it was funny. But because of our ignorance, my ignorance, they got us again. And they will come again. And the next time they come, they will get 100,000 or maybe 1 million. Mr. Youssef provided a written set of answers in his own court case that played out years later, during which he confirmed that he had personally groomed an asset who led to the uncovering of two active terrorist cells in California. Mr. Youssef wrote that he began investigating information in January 93, about a month before the first World Trade Center bombing, that an Egyptian man was involved in terrorism activities in the California area, that his effort led me to a source that was initially contacted by another government agency. I quickly developed a scenario to gain the source's trust, and in a short period of time, I gained the source's trust, Mr. Youssef wrote. During the relatively short recruitment period, it became evident this source was in a unique position to know and provide highly valuable information, not just about the main subject, but regarding two very active, thriving IG terror cells. Missing from the testimony and the record is any mention of what eventually happened to the human asset and whether he was still available to the USA. In later years, U.S. officials declined to discuss the source's whereabouts after 1994. The more than 500-page official 911 commission report, as well as equally exhaustive reports produced by the House and Senate. Remember what Hillary Clinton said as the towers were burning? What did Bush know, and when did he know it? Intelligence committees, and you know what our problem is? We fail to realize that we are dealing with communists. We call them left-wingers. They are not left-wingers. They are communists. Made no mention, and Hillary Clinton is a Grey Poupon communist. She is in it for the money, and the country means nothing. She's got as much patriotism as Obama and bin Laden. Made no mention, and when she puts on a Yankee ball cap, she looks ridiculous. Made no mention of the source of his contributions to thwarting a Los Angeles area terrorist plot. We never even knew about that, right? The 9/11 Commission report, a cover-up commission, broadly outlines how during the early 1990s, bin Laden was seeking to expand al-Qaeda globally, an effort that included building alliances extending into the United States, and that the blind sheikh, whom bin Laden admired, was also in the network. And then you had that communist lawyer smuggling information to the blind sheikh, right? What was her name? Lynn something? And she did jail time, and when she came out, everybody, all the communists gave her a big hand. We're in trouble. But the report downplays the notion that bin Laden was actively plotting to seek to finance any specific attacks inside the USA as far back as 93. Two pieces of information that, according to Mr. Curran's testimony and contemporaneous documents, the FBI's Los Angeles field office corroborated at the time. Alternatively, the report outlines how all the attacks pursued by bin Laden during the period were against U.S. assets outside the USA. With regard to the one attack inside the U.S., the first World Trade Center bombing, the report says bin Laden involvement is at best cloudy. Cloudy. Mr. Zelko says he regards Mr. Yusuf as a valuable FBI agent and does not doubt the credibility of Mr. Yusuf or Mr. Curran. But he concludes that if the source referred to by Mr. Curran had remained close to al-Qaeda leadership into the Afghan period, I am pretty sure we would have known about it. Sure you would. And every Wednesday we're all going to get chocolate pudding. And the story continues, but I think we covered enough of it. Something came to mind when he mentioned something. I forget what it was. Okay, In-N-Out, you know. Do you ever get that In-N-Out on the mind? We'll take a break. We'll play a tune. We'll see what we're going to do. We got 13 minutes left. Let me see if I can find a nice tune for you. Here's a tune. This is a song about an ally that Obama lost. there's two things that the communists are very good at. Jimmy from Brooklyn says, when they win, and when they lose, they win. And they love to join coalitions. They come with nothing and they take half. They love coalitions. So be wary when you hear words like the coalition of the willing. That means somebody's willing to screw you. Anyone who calls you a Nazi is a communist. That's one of their big labels. And, of course, you know, the racist label, the homophobe label, the anti-Semite label. These are all the work of the Communist Party. Or they could label you a slut. You know, that's another one of their tactics. Usually that's used by Democrat women against Republican virgins. Yeah. And they are the masters of the stunt. You know what a stunt is? A stunt is going into a Jewish neighborhood and painting the swastikas on the cemetery tombstones and knocking them over to make it look like it was done by a skinhead group when it's really being done by communists to promote division and confusion. Those are stunts. Another stunt would be for Nancy Pelosi to start the Selma March interpretation on the way up the steps of the Congress and have a guy in a Tea Party T-shirt call her the N-word, and that makes the Tea Party look bad. That's a stunt. And it could also happen in the Ukraine where communists, they get in with the Ukrainian freedom lovers and kill a cop. And that makes it look like the free Ukrainians did it. Those are stunts. You always got to watch for the stunts. You know? Like when Joe Colombo was downtown in New York giving a speech, and he was shot by a black guy. That was a stunt. The black guy was set up to kill Colombo, and then they killed the black guy. And the black guy thought he had an escape route, and everyone was going to help him. But they just wanted to take out Joe Colombo, and the black guy was there. It's like having a Muslim shoot the Pope when it's really the KGB that shot the Pope. So you got to beware of stunts. You got to look. You got to really look. Look at where they're pointing you away from. And you got to have good judgment, and you got to really be able to analyze the situation so that the outcome that you, the conclusion that you come to is real and accurate. So, having said that, let's see, are we going to close the UN? We couldn't close the UN. That's an anti-American organization. That's infiltrated by communists. And speaking to Jimmy, we were trying to figure out how many communists are in the United States. How many communists you think are in the United States? What percentage of the population would you say is communist? Hardcore communist that Jimmy figures are 10%. But they control 30%. And he estimates it's very close to 50% in this country. Communists that know. Oh, and by the way, when I mentioned that Al Jazeera story, that they were interviewing Van der Heuvel and allegedly her husband, Mr. Cohen, and they were calling the Ukrainians Nazis, and that Putin was a good man. Jimmy mentioned that Mr. Cohen is known as a communist. He didn't say agent, but it's like the second level. And I found that very interesting. And you know what? When I mention names, like I'm learning these people for the first time, and I couldn't remember his name, and he would say, was his name Cohen? I'd say, yes, that's right. How did you know? And he knows a lot, and he's been doing it for a long time. So he called Savage today to tell Savage he's all wrong about the Ukrainians. And Savage refused to let him talk. He cut him short. And Jimmy felt that Savage is totally wrong on this issue. And I remember Savage two nights ago, he took two phone calls from two Ukrainian women. One was Jewish, and she had lost, I think, her two brothers to the communists. And she was warning about Putin. And Putin is stretching his wings, and that's because America, the only ones that say we're the strongest nation on the face of the earth are the ones that vote to burn the flag and the ones that never served their country. They have no idea what they're talking about, and they're just talking for votes. And that's Al Gore, that's Joe Liverwurst, and anybody else that stands up there and tells that lie, we're the strongest nation on the face of the earth. You have no idea what you're talking about. When Japan has to build 2,000 nukes to defend itself, you know Japan has come to the conclusion the United States is not the United States that won World War II. And just look at what we got. Look at what we got. Look how weak we are. Obama's declared war on the housewives of the U.S. military. He wants to close their PXs, their commissaries. It is really sad. Oh, man. I'm writing you from inspection unit, and this communication is all about your shipment. During my recent routine check at the airport storage vault on withheld packages, I discovered an abandoned shipment. My uncle is a colonel in the Nigerian Army. Yes, please send me your checking account number so I can deposit money into your account. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Do you take Monopoly money? Please accept my apology. This is from somebody. Hello, it's Ryan Gill here on the Conservative Campaign Committee. Oh, they're supporting a conservative Republican, Katrina Pearson. I hope they run Christine O'Donnell again. I'd like to see her knock off the guy in Delaware. And she could do it. Women are stronger than men. Yes, that's why I surrender to them all the time. Oscar-winning producer of The Godfather returns to, let's see what this says. Why do you do that? You make these little short sentences. Can't you make a short sentence? And something's wrong because my window is opening up in the middle. Returns to present political thriller at CPAC. Oh, so he's CPAC. That's the conservative boys. There was a guy on NBC, I never saw anybody so nasty. He called Laura Ingraham a slut. See what I was telling you about? That's it. That's typical Democrat tactics, demo camo. And, of course, you know that the Democrat Party today is the Communist Party, that the Rhino Party is now the Democrat Party. So, let's see what else we got here. Scuttlebutt's newsletter. Dear Scuttlebutt. Your source, oh, that's for boating, okay. There's no politics in boating. Okay, you know what I often wondered about Fox and business? How come they don't start some sort of investment group, you know, for poor people? Somebody that could maybe afford $5 a week and start building. Everybody at the same time builds a nest egg and see how far we get before we lose it. Yeah, and of course you would have to hold hold harmless, Fox's recommendations. Okay, we're going to do Moliendo Café.
Cuando la tarde languide se renace la sombra, en la quietud de los cafetales vuelven a sentir. Se oye la triste canción de amor de la vieja molienda, en el letargo de la noche parece gemir. Cuando la tarde languide se renace la sombra, en la quietud de los cafetales vuelven a sentir. Se oye la triste canción de amor de la vieja molienda, en el letargo de la noche parece gemir. Una canción de amor, una tristeza, lleva el zambo Manuel en su amargura, y pasa la noche entera moliendo café.
Okay, so as the sun sets on Black History Month, the sun also rises on the 1st of March, to Irish History Millennium. Yeah, so we'll be opening up our show tomorrow with a little Danny Boy, and there'll be a lot of drinking songs up until St. Patrick's Day. And I've introduced a legislation to create the first American Holy Day of Obligation for all Americans. Under this pain of mortal sin, they have to celebrate the new Holy Day of Obligation, which takes place on March 16th, the day before St. Patty's Day. It's the blessing of the potatoes. I'll see you tomorrow night, guys.